¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
Redeem your Ladbrokes on free bet spins or even cash in for real money. That's Ladisfaction from Ladbrokes. And for extra Ladisfaction, here's the T's and C's. Let's rock!
18 plus. Participate in selected promotions to get Ladbrokes. Redeem them for offers or rewards. Ladbrokes expire for T's and C's apply. Take time to think. Gamble away on Ladbrokes.
Olivia Culpo here to tell you all about the launch of the new Abercrombie Spring Denim Collection, made the way denim should feel. Their denim has always been a staple in my wardrobe and has a wide range of fits, styles, and washes. Every jean is available in both their classic fit and viral curve love. Shop in the app, online, and in stores.
Operation Find Morgan a Man 2026. I probably will not ever share a man with you again until I'm married. Two.
But just know, they will be properly vetted.
Because all of us girls that just desperately want to be loved so bad, so we pick anyone and we're like, please, please.
Boyfriend doubles down and says, I know you're cheating. I know what rubber tastes like.
If you looked at me 2 years ago, you would look at a person who is severely depressed and not doing well in any way, shape, or form, right?
Well, actually, no. I think people would look at you and be like, wow, she's doing so great. She's so beautiful. She's all these things. And that just goes to show you, you really don't know what's going on behind closed doors, girl.
I hope that you are all so excited to be joined today by the most grateful little gobblers that you will ever see come across your screen. Good afternoon, everyone.
Gobble, gobble, girls and gays. Good morning.
Hey. I have to tell everyone.
Tell them.
If you see mysterious sunspots flying across the room, we have never filmed this early. We have never been up and at it this early. And I did not know the struggles that the sun was going to put us through, but we are grateful for the sun.
We're learning every day. Every day is a new day, something to learn, something to grow in. Today we're learning that this place has a lot of windows and daylight savings is kind of throwing us off. It's throwing us off a little bit, but it's okay. It's okay.
You know what I would really love to learn that no one has enlightened me with ever before is in the hell is this? Is that the tongue?
No, it's that little like thing that hangs down from the nose. Like the little, it looks like a deflated balloon.
What is it for? Do they use it for something?
Oh, and that I don't know.
Does it serve a purpose? Is it like a mating thing? Like they tickle your...
You know, and now I'm going to have to
go... ladies with their Gucci?
I'm going to watch a YouTube documentary and get back to you. Because this is how this happens for me. This is how I find out all my
You're not an
knowledge.
Encyclopedia that has every piece of information
Morgan,
stored in your brain?
I think this is the first question you've ever asked that I didn't have an answer.
Lord, I'm like, what? You don't know what this little turkey Gucci is?
Are you scared? I'm feeling a little overstimulated. So,
no, the dildo on the top is a lot. The Gucci is a lot.
Hey,
I don't
the
know.
Wings a lot.
Oh my gosh, can we even tell you what? I am a full flow. Yeah, we did go on an entire tangent this morning about how are we going to get my life in order because.
Well,
no, my life is very much in order, but it might be too in order for me to leave space for a hot sizzling man to come in. Mm-hmm. So we were scheming and plotting this morning of Operation 2026 Morgan Gets a Man.
It's Operation Get Morgan Hitched Before 30. And all I'm trying to say is if you see a new location unlock and if you see an expansion of the Morgan cinematic universe, don't be shocked or alarmed. We just needed to expand. There's a lot of fish in the sea, but we need to maybe skip to another pond because this one has, we've exhausted a lot of options and it might be time to expand. That's all.
You know, I get scared bringing this up in general. I would say I have a very friendly audience. We have done this before, but one thing that particularly ruffles the girls' feathers is if I ever talk about, do I move to a new location? It really gets the people going. It really makes them think that I am having a bipolar manic episode. That is what ruffles the people on my channel. If I'm okay. Like, and I understand it, right? I'm grateful for the people that want to check me and want to check in and say, Morgan, how are you doing? However, mm-hmm. I think that I have gotten people too attached to the idea of this particular mm-hmm. house, which I am attached to this house as well. I love this house. There is nothing wrong with this house. But the reality is, right, if we go a little deeper.
Let's get objective.
Let's get objective here, okay? Mm-hmm. I am a 28-year-old that lives in the middle of nowhere by myself. One, horrific safety issue. Not saying that I don't have a big, fat bodyguard out front.
Big, scary bodyguard. Very scary dogs. Security system.
Not saying that you won't get your head ripped off if you try to come on up my driveway. Right. However, realistically, a girl who's living by herself in the boonies of a retirement community where there is not a single person our age, and Brooke can be Brooke can be the voice of reason here that can tell you guys the amount of men that we see when we are just roaming around a Target is none.
I think none. Context is important because we are 28 and the 28-year-olds are not living. 28 to like 35 year olds aren't living around here. They're living in downtown Denver, which is very hard to get to. Hard's subjective, but it's what, 45 minutes?
45 minutes without traffic.
So
am I going to drive 45 minutes to go to a bar and then be drunk and have to find my ass back home? No, well, and then I'm not going to do it.
Begs the question, you meet someone in Denver, downtown Denver, and then what, you're commuting to every single day, an hour back and forth. All to say, you have given this the college try. You have given this so much time to cook. And what we're realizing is the kitchen might be limiting the potential dishes that could be, you know, made. So what we're trying to say is she's not going anywhere. Denver's not going anywhere. This is home. This will always be home. But there might be a second home base where people who are looking for people to marry might be. That's all.
And y'all need to understand one thing, okay? This is my only bone that I have to pick. By the standard that everyone wants to put me to, every single house that is listed on Zillow must be because that person is mentally unstable and running away from their problems.
Well, how about this?
And the house isn't going anywhere.
How about this? Hey, you've been here for almost 6 years.
Yeah.
You've been here for almost 6 years.
I know. And I think there was a chaotic few years where I had to find different home bases while my home base was being cooked mm-hmm. on, right? So people's critique of me is, oh my God, she's moved a million times. Which I'd like to say, have I moved a million times? No, I have not. I had one apartment in LA that I lived in for 4 years, got my full security deposit back because I didn't leave a scratch.
I know that's right.
On that place.
I know that's right.
I immediately left that apartment, started on this house. I found different home bases while this house was unlivable.
You lived with your parents for a while.
I lived with my parents. Okay, keep in mind, for a while when I was thinking, okay, this is too much for my parents and it's too much for me because we're all working from home and it's just a lot. Mm-hmm. It was a lot on them. It was a lot on me. I went and found an apartment. I was promised a timeline of your house will be ready to move in by this date. So I got an apartment lease that led to that date. When I got to that date and they said, hey, Morgan, it's going to be a few more months. Was I going to sign another year lease? No, I wasn't. Okay. I was practical. And I said, Mom, I'm coming in for 3 months.
I think also, and you and I can relate to this very uniquely, Morgan and I both left our hometowns to move to LA. Then we both moved back to our hometowns after living in LA. And there's something to be said about coming back to your hometown after you've grown into a new version of yourself, right? Because you grow so much in those experiences living away from where you're from. And when you come back home, it's a very, very weird experience because it's a mixture of nostalgia for what was and then this pain of like, it'll never be that way again. And then you feel like out of place in your place. And there's something to be said about needing to go out and experience new things so that you can continue growing. That is the point of being in your 20s. You are 28. It is very age appropriate for you to go out, spread your wings, and see what else is out there. That is not a bad thing.
Okay, and I don't want to put the girls into a panic, all right? This will always most likely be my home base. There is no realtor.
No.
There is no house going up for sale. But do I think that it would be wise of me if I ever want to be a person that is married and a person that is able to have kids?
Should we tell them what grandma said to you that started
this
spiral?
You guys, let me tell you what started this whole spiral and then maybe everything will come together. All right. So I go to my brother and Stacy's house, which was previously my parents' house, to spend Halloween with my niece and my family. Adorable. She was a little cow. It was the cutest thing I've ever seen. I walk in. I haven't seen my grandma in maybe 2 weeks, which for us is a long time. For me to not see my grandma in 2 weeks, that's like, wow, we've been really busy. I walk in and the first thing that my dear grandma says to me is, when are you going to get married? I'm going to be dead by then.
No, y'all, first thing. And Morgan's brother, I wasn't there for this, but Morgan's brother, he is very undramatic. For him to clutch his pearls and say, "Grandma, you can't say that," it had to have some gusto to it.
The conversation was, "Why are you not married yet? You should be having kids by now." And I said, "Grandma, trust me, girl. I'm trying, and I have really done a lot of work on myself to believe that I am a good suitor. I am good partner. I offer somebody a lot of love. The right love has just not come into my life, right?" I tried to explain this to her, and she said, "God, I'm not even going to be alive by the time you meet someone." And then I started thinking about the logistics of, I have been here for 5 years, and I have seen the scene, and the chances of me meeting a man that is the man that I'm looking for to marry, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that it's zero to none.
Have I ever told you about the goldfish theory that I made up?
No, you made up a theory?
I made up a theory.
Is it like cracker goldfish or is it like swimming goldfish?
Swimming goldfish. You know, okay. I'm a fish girl.
Uh-huh.
And the thing about a goldfish is they will grow to whatever tank they are put in. So if you put them in a little fish bowl, they will grow to the appropriate size of the fish bowl. If you take that same goldfish and transfer them to a big 50-gallon tank, they will grow to fit and accommodate that tank. If you put a goldfish in a pond, that thing will grow this big. They can grow massive, but they only do that when they know that the environment that they're in can handle them at that size. And when my family was moving to Dallas, we had lived in our same hometown for a very, very, very long time. And it's nerve-wracking. It's nerve-wracking to move to a new place, especially later on in life. And I remember talking to my parents who had never lived outside of Illinois. And I was like, "You guys, you are two goldfish that are at the very, 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 very ends of capacity in the tank that you're in. You got to move to the next tank so you can grow a little bit more." And when I see how far you came from Los Angeles to then moving back here, what I see is a girl, a goldfish, if you will, that has grown to the absolute brink of your tank and needs to expand to a new tank so that you can continue growing. Because you won't outgrow the tank that you're already in, if that makes sense.
It makes so much sense. And I think what specifically triggers people is me. I never want to present it as if this house is the problem. The house is not the problem. If I could pick this house up and move it anywhere else, I love this house. I could not be happier living in this house, all right? For context, it is the fact that I live in rural America by myself, surrounded by people who are retired and having grandchildren come over. So I will say, though, on the topic of being thankful, there is so much to be thankful for this house. I have seen and conquered so many challenges in this house, and I have truly gotten to a place where I have let go of all of the bad, right? I've let go of all of the hurt, all of the pain that I have experienced that brought me to this house and brought me to the end product, the final product of being able to live in this house. And now objectively, I can look back and say, I am grateful for all of those experiences. I am grateful for all of the people who really made me buck up a little and decide, oh my God, if you want something in life, you really, really, really have to fight for it. And,
but I think that's when I personally think when you can leave in gratitude, that is when you are leaving a situation or even just expanding on your current situation in a healthy way. It is a much different conversation when someone is running away from a difficult problem because they don't want to face it. You have faced everything very head on, have faced a lot of discomfort in doing so, and you've reached this point of gratitude where it's love and light pushing you forward as opposed to you ducking and hiding and running away. It's very different conversations.
Very, 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 very different conversations. However, I'm not saying that I'm going to move. I'm not saying that I want to move. I'm saying that I think it would be wise to go into this next year of my life while I'm 28, intentionally spending more time in other places, and maybe I meet the right man for me that's mobile that will come back here.
Yeah.
Or something along those lines. I don't know what we've decided. And oh my dear God, Netflix tried to make, Brooke said this morning, Netflix tried. They tried. You couldn't find a single suitable couple in Denver. You couldn't find one. Why? Yeah. Because
they had a casting call and they couldn't even get it right. So yeah. I just feel like,
and I don't want to be Denver's number one hater. It is a great place. It is a very good and dandy place for when you have a family and when you are raising kids. And we have great school districts. We have great nature. We have a lot of great things to offer. For young people in their 20s, is it the best place to find a partner? No, it was deemed the worst in America.
Well,
however,
also, you are a unique person. And Morgan and I talk about this all the time, where you are the person that you are looking for is going to be just as unique as you are. And so that's going to be someone that needs to be a little bit more flexible, need to be more open to possibly having their life be on camera in some way. Like, that's going to take a very specific person. And when you're limiting your, like scope of who you're looking for to the suburbs the suburbs of Denver, where already your demographic is slim to none. It's like 12 times as hard as maybe it would be in a bigger city. That's all.
That's all.
That's all.
And you know what? I have learned so much from this house. And I was giving Brooke a whole rundown the other day of what I have learned in the past year of my life is, one, you need to protect the people that you love and the things that you love to the max capacity, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't think that I will ever put another relationship online until there is a ring on my finger. I don't think I will hard launch until there's an engagement or a wedding, perhaps. Two, I don't think I want to live with a man until I am engaged.
I did both of those things and I highly recommend them.
I think that sometimes you just have to learn things the hard way. Sometimes you have to look at your situation and think, wow, I went the roundabout way on that. And I learned the hard way that maybe I didn't go about things in the right way.
Listen, sometimes you need to touch the stove
to know it's hot. You let them touch the stove and then they never touch it again.
And that's that on that.
Yeah. So Operation Find Morgan a Man 2026. I probably will not ever share a man with you again until I'm married. Two.
But just know they will be properly vetted. So help me God. Don't worry. Don't you guys worry one bit. They will be very vetted.
They will be very vetted. And I also think that I've realized from bringing you, like someone that doesn't do internet things, onto the internet, is it is a really big thing to put yourself online. And I don't think I realized the gravity of how online I am and my entire family is until I started bringing people in who are not online. And then just expecting that would be okay. And now I like to go into it saying, hey, you're agreeing to be online and this is what that means.
This is what comes with it.
And this is what comes with that. Mm-hmm. Whereas before I was just like, we're just filming a vlog, whatever.
Yeah, what's the big deal?
Yeah, and now I think it is my due diligence as a responsible adult to give people a fair warning of what they are getting into when they are getting into life with someone on the internet.
Well, I think also like a big part as your friend watching the situation that you were in from the outside is having your relationship be online added a layer of complication onto an already very complicated situation. Yes. And I feel like when you're getting to know someone and you're building those early stages of the relationship, that's when things are supposed to be easy breezy, so you can really see like your compatibility in a non-stressful environment. It's like y'all jumped into the fire and then figured it out afterwards. And that is something I think next time avoiding the extra layer of not, it's a pressure. It's like this invisible pressure of like, well, we have to work out because look at how many people are watching. And it's like, that's a lot of pressure to put
on. It's a lot of pressure. And I'm used to it, number one, and it's a lot of pressure for me. Two, I think now I have more context to realize that it is a lot of pressure on someone who doesn't want their life on the internet to put on somebody else. So mm-hmm. that was why I was even always like very cautious of having people that I like my friends even on my channel. Is just, I don't want to throw you in a fire and watch you get burned because you just never ever know what the reception of people are going to be or what. You just never know, right? It's and you can scary. Get into sticky situations all the time. And I think you can only learn by living. And what I am grateful for that I have learned this year is I can see the flaws in the ways that I have lived before. And I, out of respect for any man that I meet moving forward, would not subject them to the depths of the horrors that can unfold online.
I think it's also... it's almost less about them and more about you.
It's a lot about me too.
Protect your peace first. Like I got engaged after a year of dating my husband, and I did not post a single photo of him. People that hadn't seen me in a year didn't even know I had a boyfriend until I put him on my Instagram with the engagement photo. I also had
that was so hot of, oh my God, Brooke, let this, Brooke is here to parent us all, you guys, all of us girls that just desperately want to be loved so bad. So we pick anyone and we're like, please, please. And then we're like, look, everyone, look, I have someone to love. Let Brooke be the lesson. The leader is speaking.
Listen, you guys, I genuinely believe that you need to keep things quiet until they are done, because energy flows somewhere even when it's not intentional. So when you are constantly posting your partner, people subconsciously and consciously are thinking about what you're posting. And I was a normie. I posted on Instagram maybe twice a year. I literally had zero online presence. Like for a very long time, I was very offline.
Yeah. And can we add, Brooke is a normal person with a normal ass job. We've never addressed that Brooke has a full ass real corporate job. And here she is diddly daddling on the side with me for fun.
Serious business. What do you mean? And what do you mean? Yeah. But even for fellow normies, when you post, people's judgment, good or bad, it goes somewhere. And I really think that people should be more careful to protect the things that matter to them and care deeply about protecting your energy, protecting your peace. And I feel like I almost did that to an extreme in my relationship, but I am so happy I did that, because without filtering out everyone's opinions while you're making such a big decision, like, is this going to be my life partner? Figuring that out with only, like, the only people I really ever listen to are people I genuinely trust will give me solid advice. That's my family. That's Morgan. It's a very select few friends, because I feel like when you're opening your relationship up too early, that feedback, good or bad, can really sway you. And I think you specifically have that on an extreme level. And so,
yeah, that, and I have been doing this for so long that it just feels like second nature to me to have mm-hmm. every part of my life commentated on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that I got so used to that I didn't give other people the decency to say, hey, this is what you're signing up for. This is what you're walking into. And I think going forward, even friends, relationships, anything, I just have that little tidbit of information in my heart now that it is not fair to subject somebody who is not on the internet to the internet. And yeah. Not even that, but just publicly, like you're saying, like to people that just have followings of their college friends and their high school friends, like people are so judgmental. People are so mean.
Well, it's in our nature. It's not. Yeah. And that's the other thing too. I don't think it's a malicious thing. I don't think it's something that we're doing consciously. Like I have had a Facebook, I've had an Instagram since the sixth grade. The sixth grade, you guys. And I'm 27. Like you're the same. Like we, even before you became, you know, the social media star that you are, we do that. We yeah. post things thinking how many likes is this going to get? Or, oh my gosh, my Instagram post only got this amount of likes. Like that's so embarrassing. I was thinking that shit in high school. Like,
oh yeah, so was I.
We've been programmed to be this way. And to think that that goes nowhere, it's unrealistic. And so I think the bottom line is protect things that are dear to you like they are something to protect. And if that is a loved one, protect them accordingly. If that's a child, if that's a project you're working on, if that's a job you have and that's something you want to protect, protect it. Do you know what I mean? So yeah, even lack of feedback is feedback. And that goes somewhere. So just protect it. That's all. And it is kind of fun when you post something like that. Morgan called me because Morgan didn't even know. Morgan,
yeah, I was like, what the hell?
It is a funny bit, you guys. It's really funny.
You know what? I have this new thing in my life, right, where I really like to spend time with people. I have been thinking more than ever about like the top five people that I surround myself with. Brooke, you're definitely in my top five. My brother's in my top five. All people that I love and admire so much. And I think we were talking about this the other day, is you want everyone in your immediate circle to be somebody that you look up to and you think, oh my God, I love them so much. I'm so inspired by everything mm-hmm. they do. Like, I admire you so much. And I think when I look at Brooke, I'm like, oh my God, you are the blueprint.
She
is the blueprint. Because not a lot of people, what? I'm just going to be honest, and I'm not saying anyone specifically, but I know a lot of people our age that aren't in particularly healthy situations. Mm-hmm. And I think you have done so much work on yourself and kept things so personal to you and in your own circle mm-hmm. that they just flourish because they're healthy and thriving because you protect the energy of all the things that you love. And I want to be that way. And I will not subject anyone to the horrors of the internet ever again. Number one. Number two, the people that you surround yourself with, you guys, are the people that you become, right? Like at the end of the day, it doesn't matter who's commenting on your post. It doesn't matter how many likes your posts get. It is the five people that you are surrounding yourself with on a daily basis. That is the type of person that you are going to become. So, oh my dear God, choose like your life depends on it, because it does.
Yeah.
Because I have tried, and I think we can sway away from the relationship thing. Morgan gets a man's 2026. We can sway away from that. I think there's a lot to be said about female friendship and like,
oh, that was just, yeah, don't get me started.
How you pick the females, and not even just females, like your girls, your gays, your friends that you have in your life, I think it can be so easy to look at other people and think, oh my God, their life is so fun. Oh my God, they're out partying every night. Oh my God, they have a big group. Oh my God, they're doing all these cool, amazing things. Mm-hmm. When at the end of the day, half of these people that are in these big, gargantuous groups, all of them hate each other. They're all in this big group because they love talking mm-hmm. drama about each other. And what is this person doing? And Sarah and Jessica did this. And oh my God, we hate them so much.
And you and I talked about this. How about the friends that you get with that you only talk about the past? You yeah. never talk about the future. You never dream big and you're never aspiring to do the next thing. All you do is talk, you beat the same dead horses, you talk about the same things. And that's really fun, don't get me wrong. Like, we do that all the time, but we also, I think, are so focused on growing into the people we want to be and to continue growing that that kind of momentum like pushes us forward. And I think that it can be so detrimental to find yourself in circles that kind of enable not bad behavior, but like complacent behavior of like, hey, you made a goal 5 years ago to change XYZ about yourself. 5 years later, you're still in the same position. Do you have friends around you that have been like, hey, like, how's it going with that goal of yours? Or, hey, I recognize this in you that like, maybe this is something that you can work on to help you get to where you want to go. I know for me, I've had times in my life where like, I've had nothing but people around me like wanting me to stay exactly the same. And yeah. I look back and I'm like, damn, that version of me was like not the goodest or the greatest look, you know? So
yeah. No, I have found myself in many different eras of life. And I think when I look back, what is defining about each like time period that I can remember is who I was surrounding mm-hmm. myself with. Mm-hmm. And I think of me last year, even the past 2 years, all I did, you guys, was I woke up, had insane anxiety of, oh my God, I don't know what I'm going to do today because I haven't planned anything. I haven't thought of what I'm going to do today. I have no plan. I have no rhyme or reason. I don't know what the fuck's going on. I am lost in the sauce. What am I going to do? I'm going to lay on the couch and that's it. That's it. I'm going to lay on the couch and think about what am I going to do? And then I'm going to have anxiety all day
about not doing enough. Yeah.
And then I call up my friends and I'm like, what are you doing? And they're like, I'm having a bed rot day. And I'm like, okay, so this is normal. This is what people mm-hmm. do. This is the vibe. We're all bed rotting. We're all going out. We're all drinking. I was taking shots at lunch, you guys.
What?
When I lived in that Cherry Creek apartment, I was going down to the lobby taking shots with the people that worked Morgana. In the lobby. You guys, like, I have been through the trenches in the past few years. And now that I feel like I am officially on the other side of it, because let's put it how it is. If you looked at me 2 years ago, you would look at a person who is severely depressed and not doing well in any way, shape, or form, right?
Well, actually, no. I think people would look at you and be like, wow, she's doing so great. She's so beautiful. She's all these things. And that just goes to show you, you really don't know what's going on behind closed Woo! Doors, girl.
You really don't know. But every person that I was hanging out with and every person that I was friends with mm-hmm. in that era of life, they all thought that I was doing fine and normal and they were doing the same things every day. Then I start miraculously hanging out with Brooke again. I start miraculously going to my brother's house once a month and I start realizing, oh my God, I am a lazy, unorganized. No, it's true. No, self-reflection is good, you guys. I am a lazy person that sits on the couch all day and waits for life to happen to me. Mm. Meanwhile, all of my friends that I look up to, all of my friends and family that I want to be like, they are going out and they are making shit happen for them. They're not sitting on the couch waiting for someone to come save them. So once I started exiling those people in your life that just want you to stay where you are, they want you to go out, they want you to hit the vape, they want you to do whatever it is that they're doing, stay out till 3 a.m., without knowing it, you are going to become just like them. And then you're going to be really sad when you wake up one day and realize, oh my God, I'm in the same place that I was 3 years ago. And what it comes down to is the people that you surround yourself with and what is the standard of what they accept.
I feel like...
maybe that was too harsh.
No, it wasn't too harsh. I think there's one thing that could be reframed. And it's that for that time period where... my husband is, I've mentioned this before, but he was in the military and he has had many eras in his life. He was like military, D1 athlete. Like there's been always a emphasis on personal responsibility. He's always had a lot going on. And when we first started dating after we met each other, he explained how he organizes his life because I was like, how have you accomplished so much? Like, how are you this way? I immediately looked up to him because he has a discipline that I've always wanted, but I've never, with my ADHD brain, like I've never been able to achieve that level of discipline. And he said that you have to categorize your life in buckets. And he's like, there's a career bucket, there's a family bucket, there's a relationship, like significant other dating bucket. And then there's hobbies. And then health. And he's like, if you think about yourself as like a pitcher, you can only pour in to a certain number of buckets without spreading yourself too thin. Because if you're just giving drops in every single one, none of them are going to be full enough to make a difference. And he's like, there are seasons and chapters and quarters in your life where you pour into some more than others. So when we started dating, he's like, he told me that it was the first time in almost a decade that he had poured significantly into the dating bucket, because before it was all career, right? His career bucket and his health bucket were overflowing, but then he lost track of his relationship with his family. They weren't as close because he wasn't traveling to see them and X, Y, Z and the other. And I think there's something to be said about during that time in your life, you were pouring significantly into healing yourself and your mental health. And sometimes things like career or personal friendships and those buckets, they might go on the back burner for a little bit. But because you overflowed that health bucket in so many ways, mental specifically, I can think of, you are functioning on a level today that would not have been possible had you not given that one the attention it needed.
Right.
And so
yeah,
I think
that's very valid.
And so I think that there are times throughout the year even where it's like, okay, in the summer, I'm going to really go hard and connect with all of my friends, right? I'm going to pour so much of myself into that bucket. And maybe you put the health one on the back burner. Have the fucking mimosas. Have the time of your life. And then the winter arc comes and you're like, okay, like I'm going to pull back. I'm going to pour into the family one and the health one. I think that's a much healthier way of looking at it, because if you're like, oh, I was a piece of shit because I wasn't pouring into my friends. Yeah, but you were pouring into yourself in other ways. And so nothing is a waste of time. Nothing is
by accident.
And everything is leading to the next thing. You just have to have the right vision to see how that's moving. And it's really amazing to see how things have progressed because you did the hard work to pour into things that were uncomfortable.
New year, new groove, new you, new brew. Craving a little something to fill your cup? Pistachio flavors are back at Starbucks. Rich, nutty, creamy, and handcrafted to your taste. Rewrite your ritual with our new iced pistachio matcha latte. Rediscover our iconic pistachio velvet oat latte. We're serving pistachio flavor sips to brighten wintertodays. Start your next chapter with pistachio. Pouring now at Starbucks. Subject to availability while stocks last.
Yeah, sometimes the buckets, they really hurt. Sometimes those buckets are sharp.
Damn.
And can I say, the bucket that I have filled myself up with this year that I have not in so long is my Fred bucket. I cannot tell you. You guys, I mean, y'all already know. I have been a loner for a very long time, but I think it's just because I've always been so busy mm-hmm. pouring into my other buckets. And then when I started pouring into the Brooke bucket, look how far we've gone. Well, it's been great for me because, like we were saying, living out here in rural America, my options of friends, they just don't come by the busload, right? Because there's just a lack of people our age around here. So being able to hack the system and find a way to have designated friend time, oh my gosh, it's been life-changing
friend
for me.
Friend time on the calendar.
Friend time on the calendar has changed my life, you guys. I kid you not, because at the end of the day, your family loves you, your man's loves you, your significant other loves you, but I think you always got to have your friend time. And I was missing that mm-hmm. for so long in life, and I didn't realize, why do I feel so empty? Why do I feel so sad? It's because I wasn't giving any friend time.
Well, I think too, there's something to be said about, I have a lot of sisters. We've established this. I'm drowning in sisters. And Morgan, you don't have any sisters. You have brothers. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's female companionship is such a underrated thing. And when you have it, it's something you kind of take for granted. Like I've taken it for granted many times in my life where, you know, I'm more interested in boys or more interested in God knows what, but it really can be one of the most life-giving things to pour into a friendship that is so reciprocal and so just, I feel so much more alive when I'm with you and like having like fun with you. And it's
us. We're not gay.
We're work wives, guys.
Morgan called me her work wife, and my husband laughed his actual ass off and was like, yeah, that would explain it.
So you guys, we're not gay.
We just found
love each other.
A term for our seemingly our flourishing relationship.
Our suspicious relationship.
We are work wives.
We're work
wives. Get over it.
Get over it.
Yeah, but be very particular with your friends. Find people that inspire you. Find people that are rooting for you and people that want you to be better, because what more could you ask for in life than people who are inspiring you?
And one piece of advice I really, really, really want you guys to listen to. I know you guys don't know me very well. Hi, but please, please hear me out. Do not take advice from people that when you look at their life, you don't want to be living the exact same way that they are.
I know that's right.
Do not take advice from people that when you look at what they're doing, you're like, not impressed. You couldn't pay me to switch lives with you. And if there is someone who's like in your life where you're like, I want your life, I want to be just like you, and they tell you to do something different, maybe consider listening to the person who's gone before you. Thank you.
Yeah, because there's so many brilliant, inspiring people walking around you. You just have to find them and you have to pour into them.
Wow.
That was great. That was really beautiful. And you know what I would like to add to that? Not that we've been ranting about the same thing for 45 minutes, but I think it's normal to have seasons of your friendships where you're closer with certain people mm-hmm. and a little more distant with other people. And that doesn't mean that you don't love these people and you don't cherish these people. I think it's normal in our life to have ebbs and flows with people. Yeah, and how we walk into different seasons of our life and our compatibility with people changes, but that doesn't mean you love them any less.
I think it comes down to capacity.
Yeah.
And, you know, when Morgan and I, when we've spoken about this before, but our friendship hasn't been a linear thing. It hasn't been like consistently strong. And we've never had a falling out. It wasn't anything like that, but we lived in different states and we were in different phases of life.
Very different phases at very different times.
And compatibility isn't something that's always going to feel and look the same. But when you have the capacity to come back to a friendship and to pour into it, it can be something that is so rewarding to decide one day, this means something to me and I'm going to put the effort into it. Because at the end of the day, the only way to grow and maintain relationships is to put the effort in. Especially when you have friendships, like if you've had a friend in college and you were so close in college, but then you moved states, that shit is hard to maintain.
Yeah, you have different jobs, you have new schedules, you have new dating lives.
But
your priorities change and that's okay.
And I know for a lot of my college grad friends, it's such a scary time in your life where you're like, oh my gosh, like I'm never going to be this close with those people again. I'm never going to like live down the street and all these things. And I have felt that way for a long time. Like, oh, like I miss that person. And it's so sad because I'm never going to be that close with that person again. Cause life just, there's no way. And becoming close with you again this year, the way that we have, feels like the biggest gift in the actual world, because you never think like, oh, my long distance friend and I are going to be able to see each other once a month. And to be able to be in a place like that is insane.
We biohacked the system, baby. Data hackers on the rise. Watch out, AI. Brick and I are on the IRS scheme.
Nothing can stop these turkeys, damn it. But anyways.
Yeah, and I think what we've learned from each other, and I don't want to speak for you, but
you can speak for me.
You can look back in the past and realize that maybe the reason that you're not as close with your friend as you once were has nothing to do with you, right? Mm-hmm. Like we all go through our own growing pains there. Because now that we've matched all of our stories together, I'm like, oh, there were times that you were simply in a crisis trying to figure out what you wanted mm-hmm. to do with your life. There were times that I was simply in a crisis trying to figure out, oh my God, what the hell am I going to do? And then once you figure things out, you come back together and you're like, oh, we weren't actually mad at each other. Right. We were just trying to figure this thing called life out.
Oh my gosh.
So
it's
don't take everything so personally. Extend an olive branch if you feel the desire to someone you love. Be grateful for them. Send the olive branch this Thanksgiving. You know what the perfect thing for Thanksgiving is?
Yes.
It's time for the olive branches, girls and gays. If you have a friend that you have been thinking of and you just want to reach out and say, hey, I've been thinking of you. I hope you're doing well. There is no better time than Thanksgiving. And let me tell you, Brooke is better than I at being an olive brancher. Sometimes I can hold a grudge. Brooke is queen of olive branch and she has always olive branched me and been like, hey, thinking of you, love you. And I'm like, oh, my friend doesn't, me who thinks everyone hates me. I'm like, oh my God, you don't hate me.
Morgan literally goes into every day being like, and everyone hates me. Another day of everyone hating me in the world. No, and I would reach out to her and be like, hey girl, like, love you. She'd be like, oh my God, you do? I'm like, oh, no shit, I do. You're so lovable.
Yeah. But no,
sometimes I love people so much that I think it may be overwhelming for them. And then I feel guilty. Like, I don't know.
Honestly, something that I feel like I'm pretty good at is getting over myself and just sending the damn text. If there is someone that you're like, things are kind of awkward and this, and this happened, and it's been 6 months since we talked, and just text them. Hey, thinking of you. Hey, sending you love. Hey, prayers your way. Like, you really never know. And I have this theory. I have a saying that I really live by, in that it's that gut feelings are guardian angels. And it's when our angels are just tapping us on the shoulder and being like, think about that one. But another extension of that is I really think that when someone pops into your mind on a random occasion, just immediately when they pop into your mind, text them. Hey, how's it going? Thinking of you. Even if you haven't talked to that person in years, I'm not joking. You never know what someone's going through and what an olive branch or just a check-in will mean to someone in the long. And the amount of people I've done this to, and they're like, how did you know I needed you right now? Like, how did you know I needed a friend right now? And then we talk on the phone for hours and you realize, like, damn, like, you guys aren't just Sims that go absolutely, absolutely still the minute you're not in my line of sight.
My Sim didn't just go offline. My Sim needed a lifeboat.
Yeah, yeah. Oh my God. You've still been online? You're kidding me. So anyways, that's my unsolicited advice.
Season. We challenge you all. Send an olive branch.
Send an olive branch.
If you feel the need to.
Yeah. Gobble, gobble. Speaking of gobble, gobble.
Can we gobble, gobble in a little more fun direction? And can I please, for the love of God, pee first?
Oh, yeah, girl. One second. My friend's got to pee. One second. My Yorkie bladder friend needs to go pee for the 12th time today. Everyone.
If we had an ad read, this would be a perfect time for it.
Hey, ad read. On the pee break, I did go on my phone. And can I just say something? What would you like to say? Niall Horan from One Direction is so fine. He is so fine. Y'all, if you're not a washed up directioner in 2025, what are you doing?
Get on the train.
What are you doing? Because he is so fine. Okay.
We thought we would do something a little festive and fun.
Went deep.
Oh, tell me deep, more, gobble,
deep,
gobble.
Deep, deep.
As deep as my Gucci?
Mm-hmm. On to Reddit to find Am I the Asshole Submissions Thanksgiving Edition.
This is our favorite game, you guys.
Oh, we love this
no
game.
No one is bribing us to do this. We do it for the love of the asshole game.
And we love surprising each other. And we love reading the first sentence and then saving it. saving it for the live reaction.
And you know what I love even more? Talking about drama that's not ours. Because it feels a way more like a free range.
You know that's why I love history so much.
We can do no wrong here.
You know that's why I love history so much, because it's literal ancient drama that has nothing to do with me that is so juicy. You can't make it up. Okay. So, you guys,
gobble us up.
This one's kind of long. So I need everyone to lock in a little bit, but I promise you, I really truly believe in my heart of hearts that it will be worth it.
Okay. Okay.
The title. Am I the asshole for being a picky eater at Friendsgiving? Friendsgiving. Okay. I, 26 female, joined a group of friends I met in grad school. We range anywhere from 23 to 30 and we're a mix of men and women. I was bullied out of my old friend group, so I started hanging out with the current friend group since February. They have all been friends longer than I have, so I am like the new addition. For the last couple of years, they do Friendsgiving, which is usually a week or two before Thanksgiving, and we all bring a dish and a drink to someone's house. This year, a girl, Lisa, said she would host since her and her fiancé just moved into a big condo. We were all assigned to bring something, but it didn't have to be Thanksgiving themed. Any food would do. Which defeats the purpose of Thanksgiving, but whatever, I'm not the hostess. Now, I've always been a picky eater.
I don't have allergies or anything, but I know what I like and I'm not interested in trying new foods. That may offend some people, but that's just who I am. We had a Google Doc for who was bringing what, and I quickly realized I wouldn't be able to eat anything except bread rolls and apple pie, and I was bringing the apple pie. There was a lot of foreign food since most of the friend group came from diverse backgrounds. Some examples are Lisa's Chinese, so she was going to make Chinese barbecue pork and steam a whole fish. And another person's family is Lebanese, so they were bringing hummus and parsley salad, etc.
Oh no, this girl needs a chicken tender and fry moment.
She's a nuggies and spaghettos girl.
My sister Reese was a picky eater for a short time. And one time at a family dinner, I go, "Did you get your nuggies and spaghettos?"
She was like 20. And she wanted to kill me. She didn't do it again. Nuggies and spaghettos. Okay.
I Googled the foods I didn't know, and none sounded appeasing to me. So I texted Lisa and asked her if she could provide something for me to eat so I didn't starve. She asked me what I was thinking, so I provided her with some options such as pizza, burgers, spaghetti, and meat sauce. She said she would. So I go to Friendsgiving and everyone starts to help themselves, and Lisa brings me out a pizza. I asked her where my other options were, and she said there are no other options. I said I liked pizza, so she got me a pizza. I felt this was unfair because everyone had a variety to choose from and I was essentially being forced to eat one thing. We got into an argument. I told her when I gave her a list of options, I expected her to have a few different ones for me, like a good hostess would do. She said, "No, why should I provide a bunch of food," which I never said a bunch, "for just one person?" No one stood up for me, and a couple people sided with Lisa, saying I was acting spoiled. I ended up in tears, and I left early without eating anything. Lisa wouldn't even give me back the pie I brought, which was unnecessarily mean. That was a couple weeks ago, and everyone is ignoring me. Granted, it's near the end of the semester, so we've all been busy. I'm starting to feel like there was a miscommunication between Lisa and I, but I wanted to see if anyone would side with me. My friends are aware I only like a few foods, and I feel like I'm being bullied for my taste. I'm super anxious and upset and can't focus on my finals. So Reddit, am I the asshole?
They say go big or go home, but now you can go big at home with the Big Arch on delivery. That's right, the Big Arch is back and it's here to stay. Big Arch, for big McDonald's hunger. Order in the McDonald's app. Serve from 11 a.m. 18 plus. Service fee and small order fee may apply. Upcharges apply to delivery orders. Subject to availability, price and participation may vary.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. With Shopify, 2026 is the year you make it happen. It gives you the tools to build your dream store, online and in person. Plus, with marketing built in, it'll help you reach exactly who you need to. Join the millions who've already made the leap, like Gymshark and Allbirds. And ring in the new year with Shopify. Sign up for your £1 per month trial at shopify.co.uk/Spotify.
Womp, womp. Congratulations. You get a medal of honor for being the worst type of person. Oh my dear God. You do not know by this big age, you've been accepted into college, my friend. Do not know that if you're going to be the annoying bitch at the party that's like, "I can't eat anything," you eat before you go. You do not make your dietary problem somebody else's problem. No. Sorry.
From one gluten-free girl to the other, if you have some sort of weird food thing going on, it's your problem. I'm sorry. It just is. And the fact that she went out of her way to get you a pizza and you said, "Hey, all your multicultural dishes, I like my nuggies and spaghettos. I need a variety."
Does anyone have a little can of SpaghettiOs?
So embarrassing, bro. You were invited into someone's home and you were like, "You didn't provide enough options for me." Hello?
And this bitch gave her a full pizza. Lisa gave her a full ass pizza and that was not good enough for her. Sorry, you need to be,
it
you need therapy,
also
bro.
A huge red flag when someone's like, "I lost every single one of my friends earlier this year. I had to get all new ones. And now you're already having problems with the new ones." The call might be coming from inside the house, girlfriend, and you might need to pick up. You might not like the answer, but I think there are some signs pointing to you are the drama. Sorry.
You know when you watch something on Instagram or TikTok and you just know before you even open that comment section that it is going to eat them alive. Mm-hmm. This girl was on a Delta flight and she is being so rude to the flight attendant, and she gets the little bag of pretzels, you know, or whatever it is, their little snack mix. And she like puts up her little Celine glasses and she's like, "Do you have anything gluten-free?" And he says, "Those are pretzels. Are they gluten-free?" And she's like, "You should know that pretzels are not gluten-free." And he was like, "Well, we have Goldfish if that's any better." And she was like, "Do you not have to be trained on what's gluten-free?" Making it his problem, right? Being so rude. What? Keep in mind, it is not other people's job to feed you. It is a complimentary bag of pretzels, bitch. I opened that comment section. They did what I needed them to do in that moment. And they said, "Bitch, you need to stop, because it is not someone else's problem. This poor flight attendant's just trying to do their job." Lisa, your dear host, being so kind, probably spent the entire weekend cleaning her house to have everyone over, accommodates you for being annoying.
Or how about this?
I can't stand someone that makes their problem someone else's problem. How about Sorry.
This? This host is so sweet, and this friend group is so organized that they have a Google Doc where everything is documented. You make the executive decision that there is not going to be enough food for you to eat, and you decide to show up hungry. That sounds like a skill issue. That sounds like a you problem. She couldn't have been more clear.
Or, hey, why don't you bring something that is meant for you to eat, since you are one of the people that is allergic to all of the food groups combined? Why don't you make something?
Word. Bring your nuggies and spaghettos and your apple pie and shut up. Just eat your pie. That's all I have to say on the matter. You are objectively the biggest asshole I think I've read on Reddit thus far. Sorry.
Can I tell you what my favorite Thanksgiving story is?
Yes. Yes. Is this a personal story?
My most treasured Thanksgiving. Not that I didn't love my parents' Thanksgiving growing up, but COVID was a rough year. You know, we couldn't fly home. 2020, we could not fly home. So,
oh yeah, because you were still living in LA. Me,
Ryland, and Shane get together thinking, oh my God, we're staying here for Thanksgiving because we can't go anywhere. My brother and I decide we are going to try to make a turkey. We're going to try our best. And by we're going to try our best, that means my brother is going to try his best and I'm going to sit my ass
and
there
look pretty, damn
with
it.
A vlog camera, and I'm going to watch. And Shane, you know, he invites Jared and Sandy and his mom over. So we're going to have Thanksgiving with the Yaw family. Wonderful. How pleasant of them to invite me, the sister. So my brother and I'm watching him make this turkey, and he's so passionate about it. You know, he's injecting that thing with the little needle.
He has the baster ready.
He has that baster out. He has all these little spices that we've never had before. That kitchen has been used maybe 5 times, you guys. And they were all during coronavirus 2019.
Oh, my God.
We fuck up that turkey so bad, so bad. We pull it out. Shane takes one look at it. And he just doesn't say anything because he's too nice, right? He's too nice to be like, "You guys are fucking morons." You two are maybe the dumbest sibling duo I've ever seen.
Be nice. Be nice.
My brother and I are very charming and very sweet.
You are very smart.
Is brilliance our...
No. Is cooking your forte?
Is cooking my forte?
You are brilliant. Stop.
So within a couple of minutes, maybe 20 or 30, we hear, "Oh, Shane has to walk outside to get a mysterious package from the door." And we're huh? He ordered turkey from Denny's, the only place that was open on Thanksgiving. Shane saves the day by postmating turkey from Denny because me and my brother are so culinary brain dead that we could not figure out how to make a turkey. And dare I say, the turkey from Denny's was wonderful, and no one knew that we even attempted to make the turkey, and everyone had a wonderful time.
You know what? That is the sweetest story I think I've ever heard about your brother and Shane, because you know what's so cute is he didn't want Ryland to be embarrassed in front of his family. He just handled it. He just handled it.
We love a man that will solve with a post bait.
That's actually a really cute story. It's actually really cute.
He says nothing in his head. He's probably like, these morons are at it again.
He was probably like, they tried so hard.
Get them out of the kitchen, bro. My downfall is I would say I offer a man a lot. Is cooking one of them? No, but I could get there. I could
teach
work
you how
on
to make
it.
A mean steak.
Okay.
It's easy. Oh. I'll show you.
My wife is a grade A plus picky eater. It's
these damn picky eaters.
There's a trend going on.
Okay.
And I empathize. I'm not a Thanksgiving food gal myself.
You know what though? I will sit down and eat a pound of mashed potatoes and keep my fucking mouth shut.
I'll keep like the mac normal and cheese person. And the mash. Oh, I can get down. Is it my favorite meal of the year? No, but I'm not going to bring down the vibes.
Yeah.
It's bothersome to a certain degree, but on holidays, basically the shit show begins. She'd refuse to eat certain meals and mom would take it personally. I'm assuming his mom would take it personally, which results in a series of arguments between them. As a compromise this year, my wife offered to bring her own food to the Thanksgiving dinner. I was stunned. I asked if she thought this through and she looked at me confused. I told her about how weird it'd be for her to bring her own food, especially when she wouldn't be sharing it with anybody else, and told her to think about how mom would react. She'd get very offended and upset. My wife said that it's not her problem and that she was just trying to make it work by bringing her own meal. I told her again that mom might not like nor even allow this. She blew up at me asking if I want her to either eat food she doesn't like or go hungry.
Yes.
I suggested she give my mom's food a chance, but she said it wasn't about my mom's cooking. She just doesn't like certain foods. We had an argument and I ended up telling her she could stay home this Thanksgiving and have whatever meal she likes. She got quiet, then lashed out on me, calling me insensitive and negative to say this to her. I repeatedly asked her to calm down, but she couldn't stop ranting about how I was basically willing to exclude her from a major event. She started cold shouldering me about it, while at the same time guilting me, saying I'm treating her poorly after she offered the perfect compromise update. So my wife has decided to go spend Thanksgiving with her family, who, great, by the way, lives hours away. So this means unnecessary travel expenses instead of basically ditch me for a whole week. Y'all happy now? Though I appreciate some insightful comments on the situation, some others not so much, especially with those assumptions claiming that my wife has allergies. She does not. Where'd y'all get that from? But anyway, see y'all now. Okay, I guess, queen, though, I'm not too thrilled with her decision. I feel she's doing it to spite me, which I don't know if we need to add the update in. But
here's the thing.
This is a tricky situation.
Here's the thing.
Yikes, bro.
It's not, yikes. One meal is not worth bringing drama into your family dynamic with your in-laws. It's just not worth it. And if your husband's coming to you and being like, babe, that's going to cause unnecessary drama. Can you please just eat beforehand? How about this? Perfect compromise. Eat your meal beforehand, show up with the dessert, and eat dessert. Make yourself a small plate, pick at the plate, eat dessert. It's really not that complicated.
Have some mashed potatoes, have a roll.
Seriously.
Yeah, I guess I was raised in a way that even if you don't like what someone else is serving you, you plug the back of your nose and you swallow that shit. You do
it's
it
polite.
Whether you want to or not, because at the end of the day, if you don't have major allergies, it's not going to kill you. Get a bowl of mashed potatoes, pour some gravy on that shit, get a bread, put some butter on it. You'll be just fine. Like, I don't think she needed to add the unnecessary drama of I'm going to bring my own meal. Eat beforehand. If you're not going to eat, as Brooke said,
yeah,
and don't make a big deal.
Can I make a confession? Halfway through your story, I have been having the giggles over here. Because
what? Are you laughing at my gooch again? Is that what this is even called? Are you laughing at my gooch?
Not a gooch.
What's a gooch?
That's not a gooch.
Well, what is this?
Isn't it a waddle? Isn't that what it's called? I'm going to look it up.
I don't know if I know the anatomy of a turkey because I know what a gooch is. I thought this was the pecker.
It's called, oh my God, you're not going to believe what it's called.
It's called a snood. It's called a snood. This appendage can change in size and color to indicate the turkey's mood. And it plays a role in sexual selection and attracting mates.
My snood is looking mighty fine.
Your snood
today.
Is really... Well, can I tell you, I've been laughing at your snood because while you're talking and giving the best rundown of your life, can you... see? And it's this shadow.
What? You don't like when my snood it's puts a
really,
shadow in the
really
wind?
Funny.
Oh,
sorry.
My God. You know what else your is funny about turkey? Me. So here in Colorado, right, it is very common that men go hunting.
Yeah.
Like it is, I would say majority of men that I know, and I know the commentators are going to be like, what the fuck? What the fuck? We live in rural Colorado, you guys. People are going hunting, okay?
Oh, yeah. Y'all don't want to know what's going on in Texas. Oh, my God. No one Google it.
I'm sorry to the commentators. There is a world where people go hunting for sport. I'm not one of them, but it's a thing.
Someone invited me to go mudding and hunting when I first moved to Texas. I looked at her so sincerely and said, why? Like, why would she's like, you know, you just get in the mud and you get. I was like, oh, my God, you are so pretty. I won't be doing that with you.
Yeah. But anyway, that prime part. Example, that part. I knew this group of guys and they were going turkey hunting and they were so excited. It was the first day of turkey hunting season. I look out my window from my bed. Turkeys be waddling around my yard all
Which
the time, you guys.
Crazy wild turkeys.
There are wild turkeys roaming around. And I send a text saying, did you really drive 3 hours to go chase down a turkey when there's turkeys in the yard right
here? Found one.
Hey,
found one.
Hey,
I'm better at this than you.
The phone is ringing. The turkey that in question is outside of my house. Like, I know you don't have to drive that far.
Like, it's hard. Found one. Losers.
And they get so mad. I send a video to this boy group chat being like it's hard.
Like, it's hard.
And they're like, that is not the point. The point is to track them down in their wild element, not go after the ones
it's
that are
the
roaming
journey,
around suburbia.
Not the destination.
It is the journey.
Pack
oh my
it up.
God.
Pack it up.
I said, you know, you can go to Costco and get one, right? They said, that is not the point. Anyway.
That is hilarious.
I have history with turkeys. What can I say?
That's really funny.
They're roaming around my yard probably as we speak.
Like it's hard?
Like it's hard.
Wow, a snood. I love learning new things.
I heard turkeys make great pets.
Shut up.
Not that I know. Like if you have chickens, I heard you should have a turkey and they can really add to the vibes. However, do I think, back to the asshole.
Right. Sorry about that. I did derail
us. You are an asshole for saying, well, you're just not invited at all then. Because to say that to your significant other is really mean and really itchy. And then it puts in jeopardy all of your holidays to come.
That's not the solution.
No.
I don't think her solution was a great solution, but I think the solution might have been, let's eat together beforehand and then just go be polite.
Right.
That is, I think, the solution.
Yeah, or let's eat together beforehand and we'll just go for dessert if we must and stay all night and have a good time.
But you should always pick your spouse, in my opinion.
Isn't that the point of marriage?
It depends on who you ask, I'm realizing. Because I thought everyone thought the same way, but this is my first holiday season as a wife. So I'll
let
you know.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Isn't that kind of fun?
She's a Thanksgiving wife.
I'm a wife now, you guys. It's my first Christmas as a wife.
My friend is a full wife. I want to be you so... Brooke and I's favorite thing.
Oh my God.
Whenever we accidentally or unintentionally get the same thing as each other, we send each other a text saying, I want to be you so
be
fucking bad.
I want to be you so fucking bad. Like, and it started because I have been wearing these same damn Reebok sneakers because I'm like a little boy when it comes to shoes. My shoes get so demolished. It's like I'm running, playing on the, like I beat my shoes up. So I have to get the same Reeboks from Amazon all the time. And before Halloween, I get this random text from Morgan in invisible ink. And we all know what that means. And it was a picture of the shoes that she ordered from Amazon.
I said, Brooke, I've been on a sneaker hunt. And the only ones that I could find that I like are the ones that you happen to wear every day. Your signature shoes.
She said, I want to be you so fucking bad. And I have never laughed harder. To your point, that it's an asshole move to not to make a stance like that on a holiday. But
Well, once you get married, I would say your spouse in my how it's always been presented to me is once you get married, then your spouse is your primary family.
Yeah.
Not that your primary family is not your primary family.
Well, it's
family,
your foundation.
But you are now making decisions with your spouse versus with your parents and siblings.
Yeah.
But to each their own. I mean, do whatever makes you happy. I am
Listen, if you wanna be a big advocate for people
doing whatever makes them happy.
If you want to be a mama's boy and prioritize your mother's happiness over your wife, do it. See what happens.
You might end up divorced, which would be very expensive, but there's probably a lawyer on a billboard near you that could help you through it.
I know that's right.
Period. Well,
gobble, gobble, you girl. I have had a story sitting in my notes. Whenever a weird story comes up or like a thought comes into my mind, I just have started writing it down. It's very scary. It's a very scary list of information.
Oh, she's an upcoming internet star, you guys. I keep pitching to Brooke that she should have a history channel. Let us know in the comments below if you want to see history from Brooke on the go.
Something that has shook me to my core and made me extremely grateful for my healthy relationship, because if I was living in the hell that this girl is living in, I think I would go crazy. And I have not told this to you because I wanted to tell you on camera, because it's the most insane story I think I've ever been told in real life.
Okay. Oh, a Thanksgiving treat.
Friend of a friend of a friend is dating this person.
F-O-F-O-F-O-F. Friend of a friend of a friend of a friend.
Might even be three times more than that.
Okay. We're 4 degrees separated.
Right. So there's no way anyone's guessing who this is. But she is dating a horrendous human being. Like racist. Like bad guy. Okay? Okay.
Being racist or homophobic in 2025, get fucking for real, you guys. Bro,
that's a skill issue. Okay, so fine. So he's just not a good guy for like surface level reasons, but then like beyond surface level reasons, like there's fundamental things that are wrong with this individual. But love is the disease. Love is a terminal illness, as we've established. And she's—
love is not blind, but it is a terminal illness.
It is a terminal illness. And so she's in deep, you guys. She's so deep. But there's been multiple things that have happened over the last couple years that I've caught wind of from my friend of a friend of a friend of a friend, where like it's kind of trickled through the grapevine. It's like, oh, did you hear what happened to that girl and that guy? Like, it's still going on. These crazy things are still happening. This is the last development that I heard. This was months ago, but I still can't believe it. Picture this. It's kind of sexual.
Okay.
So brace yourself.
Pod goes XXX.
Yeah, this is XXX. Sorry, guys. They are hooking up, okay? Boyfriend, girlfriend. They've been rocky, okay, but they're back on track. They're doing good. Boyfriend is going down on girlfriend. Okay. How generous. Literally.
Love that.
Count your blessings. Gobble, gobble.
This Thanksgiving things to be grateful loves for. You.
Things to be grateful for. Boyfriend going down on girlfriend. A couple seconds in, boyfriend jumps up, starts screaming at girlfriend, "You whore, I knew you were cheating on me."
Huh? What?
Boyfriend starts accusing girlfriend.
Oh my God. Cheating. That is not where I thought you were going.
Of cheating, because boyfriend says that girlfriend, quote, tastes like rubber and they don't use condoms.
Have you ever heard of the pH balance,
brother?
Bro?
Girlfriend goes, "What on earth are you talking about?
Have you ever heard of the menstrual cycle, bro?
What on earth are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about. What a crazy thing to accuse me of in the middle of sex. A, but B, what a leap.
What a, yeah.
Boyfriend doubles down and says, "I know you're cheating. I know what rubber tastes like. There's no reason for you to taste like rubber." Girlfriend says, "Have you ever heard of a menstrual cup? Like, I just was on my period a little while ago. Menstrual cup is plastic. Maybe it's that." Boyfriend goes, "Nope, you're a whore. You're cheating on me." Boyfriend storms out.
This is a real story?
Triples down. And to this day, to my knowledge, fully believes girlfriend cheated on boyfriend, even though he has no other evidence other than the fact that he thinks girlfriend tastes like rubber.
Huh?
Have you ever considered that this woman could bathe once and that would be a completely different thing. Have you ever considered that that women have many different pH balances through? Oh my dear
have
God.
Have you ever considered that the Diva Cup was in straight woman dating a straight man might be hell on earth? Because what?
Oh boy, have I considered.
You mean? I heard that story and was like, there's no way that happened to a real person that I really know, like through a friend of a friend of a friend. Like, there's no way that I am hearing this correctly. And not only was I hearing it correctly, they're still together and he still torments her on this information. And I just sat there like, you guys, if you are, please listen to the words coming out of my mouth. If you are in a situation where a guy is being that clinically insane, it doesn't get better. It doesn't get better.
He's not going to change.
Run. Because have you ever heard something so crazy?
I am floored right now. And you know what I think happened? If I'm making my hypothesis on the situation, I bet that he cheated.
Oh yeah, we all think that.
Yeah,
we all 100%. Think that.
He cheated. He knew that there was a chance that she was going to find out. So he had to make her the villain first. Tale as old as time. When do men start thinking that their girlfriends are cheating on them? It's because, oh, newsflash, he's cheating on her.
It's the most insane story ever. And it made me sad for her.
That is so sad. One, sad. Two, traumatic. Three, that will make you self-conscious for the rest of forever. Yeah. One bad comment about anything that goes on down there. Oh, that will scar you like you wouldn't believe.
Just and believe. Yeah. So that's my crazy story. But it did make me feel very grateful for healthy relationships. And it made me realize there are some women that are just in the trenches. And if that is you, start climbing out. It doesn't get better.
And may we end on the fact we are grateful for good, healthy friendships, good, healthy relationships, good, healthy self-growth, and being able to look back on the past and saying, thank God we were able to get out of bad situations.
Thank God I wasn't who I was 10 minutes ago. Fuck.
Me, who didn't know what a gooch was, thank God I'm not that girl anymore.
A snood. Thank God I know what a snood is now, you guys.
Me thinking a turkey wiener was on my head this whole time and this was the gooch?
She goes, it's the gooch. I go, oh. Don't Google gooch. Do not Google the gooch.
Do you want me to tickle you with my gooch?
Put that snood away.
I'm touching you with my gooch.
Put the snood away immediately. Anyways, you guys, that's what I have to say on the matter. Any final closing thoughts?
I'm a grateful, grateful gal. And that's all I got to say.
I'm one grateful turkey.
Gobble, gobble.
Gobble, 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 girls and gays. This was so fun.
This was really fun. Thanks for being here with us today, Brooke.
Should we keep it going on the after pod?
We have been experimenting, you guys.
We're getting out of our comfort zone.
We have been toying around with the pod after dark on the after pod on the Tron. And they don't like it when you say the full P word on YouTube.
On the Tron.
Yeah, it's the Tron. Because if you say the full P word on YouTube, they get mad at you.
YouTube is a very fickle little girl. She's really fickle. You can't say the F word anymore.
YouTube might be cheating based on the smells that I'm smelling.
YouTube, you smell like rubber. Explain yourself. Sus.
Well, if you want to continue this conversation, we will do an after pod on the Tron. And we love you all so much.
Love you guys.
Thankful gobble, for gobble. You. Grateful for you. Grateful for anyone who is with us on this journey. Love you so much. XOXO.
Gobble girls. Mwah.
Step into 2026 with a home you can call your own. With shared ownership at Latimer Homes, you can reserve your new place for just £26 before the 26th of January. Shared ownership offers a more affordable route onto the property ladder, making your dream of owning your own home a reality. Begin your next chapter today at latimerhomes.com. T's and C's apply.